Vavi Freyr har blivit en nationwide kändis sedan Eurovision Song Contest 2020, det vill säga tävlingen som aldrig blev av. Think About Things blev en väldig hit och Vavi blev vald att representera Island även år 2021 i Eurovision i Rotterdam. Och bra gick det. Bland annat den finländska publiken gav fulla 12 poäng åt Island och det placerade sig till slut på plats nummer 4. Vavi, och jag ber väldigt mycket om ursäkt att jag säger hans namn fel. Jag har tränat, men it is what it is helt enkelt. Nåja, han slog igenom år 2019 då han placerade sig på andra plats i det isländska kvalen till Eurovision Song Contest. Ett år senare kom den globala framgången och nu har han en fullständigt slutsåld turné på kommande senare både i USA och i Europa. Så gott som varenda stenspelning, och det är flera tiotals spelningar, alla slutsålda. Så gott som varje alltså slutsålda. Mm. Då jag pratade med Daddy så befann han sig i coronakarantän i sin frus mormors hus.
Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Iceland. I'm in my wife's grandmother's house, since my wife has COVID and we're in isolation right now.
Oh, okay. How have you, well, I mean, of course, you have been like probably, you probably had the most busy times in your career, you know, since COVID, like this year, last year and everything like that. It was supposed to be Eurovision Song Contest last year. Things happened. There was no Eurovision. There was Eurovision this year. You had a huge success. You got 12 points from Finland. And how have you been like coping with the pandemic? Like, have you been doing anything else besides music?
Yeah, honestly, I haven't really been doing that much music. I've been doing so much other things relating to my career. Like, I put together a band so I could actually play live, and which is not the Eurovision band because we're not a real band. And I have a publishing company now and a distribution company, and there's a lot that follows just the business of music, really. So yeah, since Think About Things became a popular song, I haven't made nearly as much music as I'm used to, but that's gonna change now.
Okay. How is it like the business part of music? Has there been anything like, what kind of positive and negative surprises has there been to you regarding the whole business part of music?
It's a little more diverse, things that I can do than I thought. Like, there are to make music for like video games or jingles for radio stations, or like, yeah, there's just a lot. And then there's also a lot of work that goes into just promoting a song after it's been released. Like, when it starts to get popular, then the promotional's work really starts, which was both positive and negative, maybe, because I'm used to just writing a song, releasing it, and then it's kind of over and I just start writing the next song. But now it's like writing a song, releasing it, and then like the promotional work for that starts.
How was it, because you've been, you know, connected to music for a long time, and then, you know, everything with Think About Things, spring last year, everything just blew up to, you know, bigger proportions than ever. How was it to kind of like, you know, handle that whole thing? Like, you're used to making songs, releasing them, making songs and doing, you know, some other stuff. And then all of a sudden you have like these celebrities that are like, you know, A-list celebrities that are like, yes, this is the best song ever and stuff like that. How was that to handle?
I think because I've been in it for so long then I was kind of ready for it. Like, I know that if all of this attention would have happened when I was 18, I would be a completely different person today. I've been like trying to promote my music for like 13, 14 years, and in 2017 I competed in the Icelandic pre-Eurovision competition and was in second place. And after that, I became like pretty famous in Iceland. So I had gotten used to like people knowing who I was, even though it's in a really small place. Then like if you get famous in Iceland, you're super famous in Iceland. Mm-hmm. So I think that also prepared me a little bit for all the attention that came with Think About Things. And yeah, I think I was ready, and it's just been fun.
Mm. But isn't it so? I've just heard from some friends that are from Iceland, like, you know, the band Solstafir, for instance. I know the guys, and of course, you know, the first time I met them many, many years ago, of course, you know, the first thing that a person that is not from Iceland would ask a person from Iceland is something related to Björk, of course. So I asked her, like, oh, do you ever see her? And she said, yeah, she goes to the supermarket there every now and then, but she is not bothered. Like, that people in Iceland, they have... Of course, there are celebrities that everyone knows, but they have the respect. Like, they don't bother them that much. You, as now a celebrity in Iceland and everywhere else, have you noticed that? Like, can you go and shop for groceries just, you know, being left alone? Or like, is it a selfie storm wherever you go?
There's a lot of selfies. I think because I've made this, my public persona is very positive, and I think it has made me very approachable. So people are very keen on approaching me. And also, like, since like the past 10 years or something, like, selfies have become such a big thing that like people will talk to me just to get a selfie. They don't really maybe even care about the conversation. They just want the picture so they can prove to somebody else that they saw me. I would say that it's a lot in Iceland. It's way less. Like, I started getting in Berlin, where we usually live, I started getting some people recognizing me there, and they just walk past and say, hey, I like your song, and then they leave, or they like have a really short conversation, and then they're gone. Icelanders, they want the picture.
Right. Well, I think it's you know, if you will, when you hopefully will come to Finland one day, it's going to be the same thing here. It's going to be selfies. So, yeah, get ready for it.
Yeah, masks are really helping, though. Like, I like that you have to wear a mask in the stores now.
Ännu för 2,5 år sedan ungefär så fick Daddy gå runt anonym, men nu är det lite andra toner då. Framförallt selfies blir det ju då en hel del. Enligt honom som känns selfies, han ställer nog upp på selfies, men det känns lite sådär som att de som kommer fram till honom, så inte de intresserade av honom, eller vet du, inte bryr de sig om att prata, utan de vill kanske träffa honom på riktigt. De vill bara ha ett snabbt bevis på att de sett honom, och sen kan man dela den här infon vidare. Det är lite så som selfies funkar, helt enkelt. Det här stämmer helt och hållet. Jag lovade Davi att mängden selfies inte kommer att sjunka sen han kommer undan till Finland.
How is it like, because you have been like doing music related stuff for, you know, years before Eurovision Song Contest. There are many musicians that have thought, you know, that haven't been like really a fan of the Eurovision Song Contest, or, you know, to use it as a platform. They thought like, no, hell no, I'm not going to participate in that. And then one day they change their mind, and then they're a part of it, and then they embrace it. Were you in the past this kind of person that you were thinking like, oh, hell no, no, not Eurovision Song Contest, not for me?
Yeah, I think so. Like, before I competed in 2017, I had the stigma that a lot of musicians have. I think it's thought of as not like cool enough or something like that, and people feel like it's like they're above competing in Eurovision somehow. But to me, like, it changed everything. Now all of a sudden I can sell out tickets like all over Europe, which I couldn't sell one ticket before Eurovision. And I also think just to actually go into it and try to approach it in my own way has really opened my eyes to how much you can do really within Eurovision. Like, you get these 3 minutes, and there are like certain rules about what you can't say in the lyrics and what you can't do on the stage. But really, like, you have a lot of freedom. You have six people on the stage and you have 3 minutes to do basically as big of a performance as you want, mm-hmm. which is something that, like, our performance from Eurovision now is something that I'm probably never going to get an opportunity to do again, with all of those cameras and all of those lights and like 3 minutes that are just a huge team of people are helping me put this thing that I thought of together.
Mm. One thing, I mean, Think About Things and the music video in particular is probably the best video. I have no idea how many times I've watched that music video, but it makes me happy every single time. And there are so many things in the song, of course, also, but in the video. But the thing that I've been thinking about the most are the instruments. Mm-hmm. The instruments in the video, the instruments also you had on stage this year. It's like, wow, that is some serious great craftsmanship. Of course, the first question is, are they working instruments or are they just a prop?
They are not working instruments. They are just a prop. My wife, who plays in the band dances in the Eurovision band. She plays piano, but the other two guys, they're not musicians.
Okay.
They're just friends of mine that I thought would be funny to bring on stage in Eurovision.
Okay, but what was the idea behind these instruments? That were used on the stage as well this year and in the video, because that's whose ever idea it was. Hats off.
The idea is that in Eurovision you can't play instruments. Like, if you see a rock band on stage in Eurovision, they're all miming the instruments. So the only thing that's actually being performed live is the vocals. So I didn't feel like going with real instruments and acting like we were playing on them. So we wanted to make our own like fake instruments and act like we were playing on those.
Well, that's a great idea. Of course, something that probably people ask you often is you made a lot of really funny YouTube videos, and of course one that got a lot of attention is where you play Ya Ya Ding Dong, and and I love it when you say with a really serious tone, you say in the beginning of the video, "This is the first and the last time I will ever play this song." Did you like struggle for a long time? Were you like saying like no, not gonna play it, and at some point you just had to give up?
Yeah, kind of. Like, I had already done a cover of one song from the movie, and I thought that was more than enough. Mm-hmm. But then I was getting so many comments, and I knew that it was going to get like attention. And I was hoping that it would kind of make it stop, but it didn't. Like, people are still asking me for that song. Mm. But now people are also like coming for my defense, so they're like, "Hey, no, he played it already. He said he was never going to do it again, so I don't have to say it."
Mm, that's good. I think you shouldn't play it anymore, because you should play it only once. Yeah. I'm curious. How did people in Iceland, because there's such a focus on Iceland in that movie, the Fire Saga. How was it received in Iceland? Because like, there might be some you know, it paints a picture of Iceland and some things probably aren't so accurate. Like, how did you and other people from Iceland, you know, feel about the movie?
Yeah, it's not very accurate. Mm-hmm. But I think like Iceland, we have a ironic sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So I think most people just thought it was funny. Like, we don't really get offended by what's being said there, and also like we're one of the richest, whitest countries in the world, so I think it's fine. Like, you can make fun of us, it's okay. But it got super popular. Like, the movie was probably the most popular movie in Iceland last year. I think most people have seen it.
Även där det var tidigare av den åsikten att Eurovision inte var något för honom, Och att det finns många inom musiken på Island som fortfarande tycker så. Men hej, Darjan har en omfattande och slutsåld turné i Europa på kommande. Utan Eurovision hade han antagligen inte sålt en enda biljett. Så att helt hur du föredrar att se saken. Men tänk nu, du har 3 minuter på dig på scenen och det kan vara ett avgörande moment. Det kan öppna en otrolig mängd dörrar åt dig. Jag har länge velat fråga av Daddy om instrumenten på det här Think About Things-videon. Samt de man hade då på scenen i Rotterdam. De är väldigt, väldigt fina och avancerade. Men de är alltså både i videon och på scenen. Det är bara rekvisiter, det är inte fungerande instrument. Instrumenten spelas ju inte live i Eurovision Song Contest. Det är bara sången som är live. Så att det där... Jag tänkte att varför ta med trummor och gitarrer på scenen när man kan liksom spexa till det ordentligt. Jag måste såklart också nämna den här Eurovision-filmen The Fire Saga som delvis utspelar sig på Island. Och i filmen så kan man höra en låt som då heter Jaja Ding Dong. Och en låt som folk krävde att Daddy skulle uppträda med. Till slut så gjorde han den på YouTube. Och han säger där att det här är första och sista gången som han uppträder med den låten. Den här filmen kanske inte målar upp en helt realistisk bild om Island, men den var jätte populär där.
It's amazing with Iceland, you know, you're a small country, there aren't that many people living there, but still, I mean, considering how many, you know, globally successful acts you have from Iceland, it's amazing. I mean, the percentage is quite high, and you have like represents from so many genres. Of course, yes, Björk and Sigur Rós, of course, but you have like so many, like if, for instance, I've been following rock and metal music my entire life, and you have like really, really good bands from that whole genre, and it seems to be like also really really diverse stuff coming from Iceland. Like, can you say anything about the mentality in the music scene in Iceland, because you guys seems to be really, you know, also pioneering whatever you guys are doing. Doesn't matter if it's like black metal or if it's like pop music or whatever. It seems like the Icelandic people in music are leaders, not followers. You always invent something completely new, it seems, like you did also. Like, what can you comment about the mentality within the music scene in Iceland in general?
I think there's a lot of factors in it, but the reason why it's sort of diverse, I think, has to do with the fact that it is a very small community, but we have a very active music scene. So if you do something that's very similar to somebody else in the music scene, you're always going to get compared to that act, and you don't want to be like, you don't want to copy like one person's thing. It's I think way easier if you're in a way bigger community and you have like a huge metal scene, and it's just like, okay, we're a thrash metal band, so we make music like this band and this band and this band, and we're like in that scene. But in Iceland, like there's a metal scene, and that's just all the metal mm-hmm. music, and then there's an electronic scene, and that's all the electronic music, and then that's basically it. Then there's just the rest of music. Oh, except for like classical and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. like it's all very, very intertwined. So you're very connected to people in all of the different areas. Like you can't just go and like hide yourself in the metal scene and only listen to metal music and only meet people that are in the metal scene, because like you're in a metal band, but you're also like the drummer of a pop singer, and then you're also like in a ska band or whatever. Like there's a lot of, yeah, I think that's because the scene is so active but so small. Mm. We have so much different stuff, like everybody is being influenced by everything. Mm. But then also we are a pretty rich country, and like we have, like everybody pretty much has the opportunity to go and study an instrument. Like we're very privileged in that way, that you can, like we both have time and resources to be able to study music. Mm. So I think that we have, like most people play something at least.
Yeah. of course, you know, finally wrapping it up. Of course, now when people speak with you, probably same topics last year, this year, of course, a lot of Eurovision and stuff like that. But at some point, you're gonna, you know, you probably yourself also don't mind someday getting rid of the Eurovision label, even though it has done like really good things to you as well. But considering your future, now it's really difficult for anyone to plan anything because, you know, there's still lockdowns here and there, and, you know, big tours aren't really possible at the moment, and nobody knows when they will be. But what can you say about your future plans?
I'm gonna work on an album to release next year, and then I'm touring in Britain or in the UK in November, a sold out tour, and then 2022 I'm touring Europe and some of like four gigs in the US, and that's like 30 gigs or something that are sold out as well. So I'm gonna play a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to organize a show in Finland because we don't have that already. And I've been hearing a lot of, or seeing a lot of comments about me coming to Finland. So I'm going to have to add that in somewhere.
Well, I mean, Finland loves you. You noticed it from the points. You can notice it from the streams. So I know a lot of people from Iceland. So I've always noticed that there's certain similarities in the mentality of the Finns, and it, like we are really, you spoke about like sarcastic ironic humor, and that's really big here, and I've just noticed that.
I don't know, like Hulle Gutaxson, he's a friend of mine, and he told me that he's like he's a comedian,
yeah,
and he's super popular in Finland, which is very I think saying about the how the humor is there.
Yeah, I mean, his morbid comics are insanely popular here. So I yeah. Know you will be well received here. That's a promise. So hopefully a show in Finland or several shows are possible as soon as possible. It's been really great talking to you. Oh, one more thing, by the way, I wanted to mention this to you. I wanted to say this to you when I have the chance to talk to you. You have an amazing voice, not only singing voice, but like talking voice. So if you're sick of music at some point, you should give radio a shot, because your voice should be like in radio or like in ads, you know, like a
thank you.
Like a beer ad or like a car ad. Like Volvo.
I'll do some ads.
Volvo, when you need to experience Volvo, power.
Oh, wow, you should be in radio.
Oh, I'll try. I'll give it a shot one day, I'll promise. Hey, thank you so much. Have a great day. Stay safe with your family, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you. You thank too. You.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jag vill ännu snacka lite Island med Daddy Freyr. För trots att där bor runt 350,000 pers bara, så har de flertal framgångar inom musiken, från genre till genre. Alltså artister som turnerar världen runt hela tiden. Såklart har de Björk och Sigur Rós, men de har en hel del annat också, från lite alla genrer. Och Daddy menar att scenerna där är så små att man är liksom inte uppdelade desto mer, vet du, i black metal eller trash metal, utan det är nu alla som håller på med rock som umgås och sådär. Och det där, alla musiker hänger med varandra, och kanske man också, kanske det öppnar lite dörrar till att man gör mera nyskapande musik. För islänningarna är definitivt ledare, inte följare.